I am ready to go.
Come on. Give it to the new guy.
Dance, Robin.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
That show bores me the heck out. The
Look at you, Justin, connecting the dots.
They've got to cram a lot of really cool stuff into each one.
I like it, the blue bride.
Learning so much right now.
Well, that's my contribution.
Boom. Done.
Hey there, boys and girls. What's that dripping out of our mouths and into your ears? It's the Geek Legacy Podcast. I am Randy, and I'm here tonight with Justin, David, and Amanda. Hey! How are we doing this week?
Good.
I'm good.
Hang on, I got spit.
Yeah, what a little bukkake on you guys there, but...
It's supposed to drip from your mouth, not you don't spit it. You're not chewing tobacco.
I kind of didn't like it.
Oh. Did you open up your car door to spit like so many people do? So dumb. They don't have windows? Why do they open up their car door?
That's how classy people spit.
Ugh, nasty.
I just don't get it, Justin.
I don't like spitting.
Well, now I have to figure out what to do with the spit on my garage floor now. I didn't think this through.
Cover it with a shoe.
All right, done.
Anyway.
Done. Yeah, so what's going on, guys? What you guys been doing this week? Anybody? No one did anything fun this weekend?
Went to the motion picture show.
Oh, yeah? What'd you see?
The Die Hard Day.
What'd you think?
Didn't like it.
Not at all?
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, it was okay. It has its moments, but I had a big old bucket of popcorn and a large old soda, and I just couldn't get into the movie at all. It didn't really feel like a Die Hard movie to me, and I thought the banter back and forth between McClane and his son was just boring and not funny. Certainly not exciting. It had action, but I just wasn't into it at all. And I thought the villain was kind of lame-o. And, I don't know, just bad taste in my mouth. And normally, being the worst Die Hard movie isn't a bad thing, because they're all awesome, but this one is just, I never have to see it ever again.
It's the Crystal Skull of Die Hard movies.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I didn't want to vomit when I finished watching it. I think that the director, John Moore, I think he has a very European flavor to action and filmmaking in general. And Die Hard is not your... It doesn't translate, I think, as well as a foreign-type film. I think that Bruce Willis, I think he did a great job as John McClane. I think he brought John McClane. But I don't think that anyone other than Bruce Willis associated with this film had ever seen a Die Hard movie.
But the trailers make it look so much like an actual Die Hard movie. How deceiving is that?
Well, what would you give Die Hard, Justin? A to F.
Oh, C-.
Yeah, I'm with you. C-. It's definitely, if you're a big fan of Die Hard, you know, you can't go wrong, you know, renting it or something like a Redbox down the road. But I wouldn't spend, you know, $9 to $12 to see it.
If you're a Die Hard fan, just wait for it to come out.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think? Should we get into some TV news?
Well, this week in TV news, we've gotten a complete pilot report from TV Guide about the new mid-season shows that are going to pop up to take the place of our dearly departed, canceled, and ending TV shows. Some of the more interesting ones that I think our audience will want to hear about. If you are a fan of Lost, Josh Holloway is going to be starring in a new show called Intelligence. Yeah. And he is going to be playing an agent of the U.S. Cyber Command who has a microchip implanted in his brain that allows him to access the entire electromagnetic spectrum.
Like, that's cool. Like Google?
Like Johnny Mnemonic?
He's got a giant Google brain.
I have a phone that does what he could do.
Yeah.
I don't even need you. I have a smartphone. Is it coming? Are the producers or showrunners anyone we know? Is it,
Michael Seitzman is writing and executive producing with American Horror Stories' David Semel?
Oh, okay.
I've heard of these people. Have you?
Yeah, David Seymour, he did Glee as well. He did Glee and American Horror Story.
Oh, he did Glee.
So he'll have like a good... So he'll probably have a good first season, and then the second season everyone will watch and hate it, and then no one will watch the third season, and the fourth season will happen, and be like, Glee's still on?
Oh.
Okay. I'll give it a watch.
Do you guys watch American Horror Story?
No,
I do.
I don't like being scared.
Dude, that show makes me uncomfortable. Like, it's not necessarily scary, but I just feel dirty when I watch it. It's weird.
Yeah, it's not scary so much as just creepy weird.
Yeah.
For those of you who are fans of Beverly Hills Cop,
which everyone in the world should be,
that's coming to television.
Heck yeah.
Axel Foley gonna find those drugs.
But it's gonna be following Axel Foley's son, who is now a police officer.
The guy from Percy Jackson's gonna be, and what's it called? Tropic Thunder is gonna be Axel Foley's kid, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, the goat kid?
He's a satyr. Come on.
Anyway, so those are gonna be coming to CBS. And ABC has wrangled Rebel Wilson, and she is going to be starring in a new comedy on ABC called Super Fun Night. And it's going to follow Rebel Wilson and her two best friends who have a Friday night tradition called Super Fun Night.
I like Rebel Wilson. She's really funny.
But yeah. I don't know, can she carry a movie, carry a show, though? I mean, she's hilarious in, like, small doses, like in, like, Bridesmaids and Pitch Perfect and stuff.
Well, if it's a 30-minute show, it's only 22 minutes, and she's not going to be on every scene, so I think it'll work.
I mean, I hope it does. I agree. She's incredibly funny, and I like watching her and everything she's been in. I just worry if, you know, you're kind of seeing it with, like, Melissa McCarthy. You're kind of seeing her get, like, kind of oversaturated to where she was great as the supporting character in Bridesmaids, but, like, I don't know if she can lead a movie like she did this week with Identity Thief and stuff like that.
One show in particular that I'm really interested in is called Influence, and it's from the creator of Awake, Kyle Killen. I really loved Awake. I thought it was amazing, and it did a really good job of presenting a complete story arc. Which, I mean, they didn't plan to end after one season, but they ended it very well in my mind. I think you watched it, Justin, right?
I did? Well, I came in and out. And every time I walked into the room, it was always Dr. Weaver on the TV. And I was ready to shoot myself. I was like, damn it, why is this lady gotta haunt me everywhere she goes? But, yeah, it was cool.
Oh, the police chief?
Yes. She was Capitan Harper. And she was only in 9 episodes, and guess what? I saw all 9 of them. But I really like Jason Isaacs. I think that dude's badass. And it's cool seeing him as a good guy, because he's a bad guy so often.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Influence sounds interesting.
Is Dr. Weaver in that?
I have no idea. They didn't list any actors.
Ugh. I hope. I like her a lot.
No, you don't.
It's going to be about two brothers who had an agency that uses the real science of human motivation and manipulation to solve its clients' problems.
Let me know how that ends.
I feel like it'll probably have some kind of supernatural bent. I don't know. I think that sounds interesting.
Yeah, sounds great.
And so ABC.
All I'm watching is Beverly Hills Cop. Unless this next one you're talking about is the ABC show. I hope it is. Then I'll have two shows I'm watching.
But you have to sing it. You have to be like Beverly Hills Cop.
I go with the. And then another.
Yeah, that's cool too.
But I'm different than you. We're two different people, Justin.
You'll like this.
Do it to me.
It's called Murder in Manhattan.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. It's called S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's going to be headed by Joss Whedon and Marissa Tancherone. I don't know how to pronounce her name. People should spell their names easier.
that's Joss Whedon's brother's wife. Joss Whedon's brother's wife.
Yeah.
Apparently she didn't want to take the name Whedon because she didn't want people to forget who she really was, I guess.
Yeah. So, and Jed Whedon's also going to be working on the show too. So the news that came out recently, was Joss Whedon talked about the show and, you know, what we can expect. Though it doesn't seem like he he gave away very much. Just talked about why he likes S.H.I.E.L.D. and why he's involved, which you can read all about at geeklegacy.com. I'm looking forward to it because I really liked the Avengers, and I'm interested to see how the S.H.I.E.L.D., how they adapt it for TV, and I really liked, what's his face, Agent Coulson, and I was sad when he died, so it'll be nice to see him again. He's supposed to be on the TV show.
Now, what's stopping S.H.I.E.L.D. from just calling up one of the Avengers anytime a situation arises? Is it going to be like a, like they cut the cord and say, look, we can't save the day all the time. You guys have to do your job every now and again. And they just handle the day-to-day?
Right. Oh, I think the way it's going to be is they're not going to deal with supervillains. I think they're going to deal with, like, I think it's going to be more like a show like 24, to where they're dealing with, like, real-world issues, to where they don't need, you know, to bring the Avengers together unless, you know, Thanos or, you know, some other massive being comes to take over the world. You know, they don't need Thor to come stop a Al-Qaeda terrorist.
Gotcha.
I mean, sure, it would be easier, but show's like 5 minutes long. So I got this terrorist. Oh, let me fly over there and get him real quick. All right, it's done.
Right.
So what do we do now? I don't know. You got any cards?
You might be interested to know that Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci are starting a new show called Sleepy Hollow.
Does it go by Roberto?
It says Roberto. It's, Ichabod Crane partners with Sleepy Hollow's sheriff to solve the mysteries of a town ravaged by the battle between good and evil. Sound familiar?
It does. Don't they know who the bad guy is, though, in every episode?
It's always the Headless Horseman. Every single freaking time.
It's that horseman, I tell you.
All these flaming jack-o'-lanterns all around town.
Yeah.
So, getting into video game news?
This week on video game news, a lot of action. On Sunday, we got dropped a bomb on Destiny, which is a first-person shooter / MMO being developed by Bungie and published by Activision. It's going to be released for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and future generation consoles, a la PS4 and Xbox 720. Did you guys catch the footage that I put on Geek Legacy, by any chance?
I did.
Kind of cool. A lot of concept art. But some things you should know about it. It will not have a subscription fee, which is cool since it's an MMO. But it will require an internet connection. I would imagine that Xbox owners are going to require a gold membership for Live in order to be able to play it. But that's purely speculation.
Right, but if they just needed like a internet, maybe we'll be lucky and Silver's good enough. But I doubt it. It's Microsoft.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do I have on that? Activision did say in a press release not to expect Destiny in 2013, but that could just be something to throw out there until both Sony and Microsoft come clean about their next gen console release dates. Maybe once we have definitive information on their release dates, possibly being this holiday season, then maybe Destiny might come out in 2013. But again, that's all speculation as well. The game does take place in a post-apocalyptic Earth, so that's kind of cool that it is our world and not some other world. And apparently humanity's been pushed to the limits and on the brink of total extinction when a mysterious force called the Traveler showed up. And that's that giant moon / Death Star / Deathticle that's hovering above.
the Deathticle.
What's referred to as Earth's last great city. And the Traveler is basically protecting the humans. And humans are able to tap into the Traveler's power and fight back against their oppressors. So now you're guarding Earth, and there's going to be three different classes. A Titan, which is going to be like the big old guns type of guy. A Hunter, which is going to focus on like sniper rifles and stealth action. And then a Warlock, which will be a magic user. Traveling is kind of a big part in Destiny. You're going to be able to go to different planets in our solar system. They haven't really talked about how you get there. Obviously, you're going to require a spaceship, and you will have a spaceship. We're just not certain if there's going to be actual space combat. or what's involved from going from planet A to planet B. But they did hint that it'll be a unique experience, but we don't know if you're going to be encountering enemies along the way. There will be vehicles for your character to get inside and travel about, so that'll be fun. So I would equate that to the same as having like a mount in, like, let's say World of Warcraft or whatever, but there'll be like tanks and little speeders and stuff, so that's kind of cool. And then I would also venture to guess that each planet will have their own little unique flora and fauna to where you get to fight whatever, maybe like giant worms or fun aliens, things of that nature, on top of the bad guys that wiped out humanity. We'll get more information as it comes, but so far that's all I know about the game.
So, sounds good to me.
So there's that.
I'll play it.
Yeah, first-person shooter MMO. What could be wrong with that? Plus, it's done by Bungie. Crying out loud, and we all love Halo. In other news, Injustice, Gods Among Us. That's going to be coming out for the 360, PlayStation 3, and Wii U on April 16th. And to get folks all ramped up for that, Warner Brother Games and NetherRealm have created the Injustice Battle Arena. And hopefully you guys had an opportunity to watch the recap that I posted the other day that shows the first 2 weeks, which was four fights. It's got some crazy, over-the-top Mortal Kombat-style fighting. The first matchup was Batman versus Bane, and Batman won that. And then it was Wonder Woman versus Harley Quinn, and Wonder Woman won that match. And in week two, it was Flash versus Shazam, and I think the Flash won. Is that correct?
He did. I remember being. I was like, what?
And then Joker beat Lex Luthor, which was kind of funny. That match was kind of crazy. And so this week, fans get to vote. You have until Thursday at midnight to cast your vote on who's going to win. You can follow the link on our website. It'll be pretty easy that way. But the matchup is Aquaman versus Cyborg. And who do you guys think should win that one? I think that Aquaman should, because he can just throw water all over.
Yeah, but sure, if he's away from the water, he's not going to be able to do anything. He's just going to be standing there like a fish just flopping around.
Aquaman does have super strength. I mean, he's not his sole power isn't just talking to animals. He does have other powers, too. Plus, Aquaman has a trident.
Yes, he does.
I vote Aquaman as well.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
Yeah. Okay, next fight. Randy, what do you think? Aquaman or Cyborg?
I'm going to go with Cyborg just to be different. And I don't like Aquaman. One of us has to vote differently, so.
That's true.
Why can't we all just agree?
That wouldn't be a very interesting podcast if we were all just friendship and smiles and...
I hate you, Randy.
Bubblegum. Yeah.
Huh.
There's gotta be a little bit of dissension among the ranks here.
I will have you shot.
Well, the next one will have dissension in the ranks.
Yes. Okay, next matchup is Green Lantern versus Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday.
I don't even know who Solomon Grundy is.
He's like a giant undead zombie guy that resurrects every time he dies.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm guessing he wins.
I picked Grundy, yeah. But, I don't know, I think Green Lantern, yeah, he's got all this super magical ring that can come up with some fun devices and weapons, but...
He's not undead.
That Solomon Grundy's just pure, like, brute strength will be enough to beat the shit out of Green Lantern.
I thought the picture of Solomon Grundy was awesome with, like, the noose hanging around his neck.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm actually a pretty big fan of Solomon Grundy. That was another one of the DC voices that Mark Hamill did. He always did Solomon Grundy for a lot of the Justice League shows. And it's kind of a tragic villain, Solomon Grundy. Love of his life died. Tried to bring her back. He died. He came back instead. That old tale.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. So yeah, I go Solomon Grundy because I have a soft spot in my heart for him.
He looks like a zombie Hulk, kind of. The picture of him, he's wearing like the purple pants too to go along with that.
He is, yeah. You can't vote against someone in purple pants.
Purple pants wins it. Why not? Yeah. If he was wearing yellow pants, then I'd definitely say he was going to beat Green Lantern. But
he's going to pee on him.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm powerless against yellow. I'm powerless against yellow. Oh, you eat asparagus.
Yeah. I guess we can all agree on that one then.
That wasn't so hard, see?
Hopefully he wins.
Yeah. I think that some villains need to win. I mean, yeah, when Joker fought, it was just Joker versus another villain. So what do you do, Basil?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd pairing. Yeah. Like, you can almost see a lot of the other pairings kind of made a little sense, but the two pairings this week are kind of off the wall, but in a good way. You know, they're very contrasting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Green Lantern's all about thinking, you know, because he's got to be quick on his toes because his power is whatever he can imagine. To where Solomon Grundy is dumb and hunking and big dude. Smash. Solomon Grundy, vote for him. I will.
We are going to have a special little podcast on Wednesday, just kind of covering the Sony announcement. It's going to be all of, whatever, 20 minutes long. Just a quick recap of the events and our thoughts on that.
So stay tuned.
And that's it in video game news.
Yeah. Well, this week in movie news, I guess I'll just start out with the Star Wars news, because that's what I love, and I know everyone loves Star Wars.
Yay.
Just a couple little quick things. John Williams is hoping to score the new Star Wars films. Disney and, you know, the powers that be have not officially said he would, but I'm assuming that if John Williams tells you he wants to score your film, you know, you're not going to say no.
I think it would be a smart move to keep him, but J.J. Abrams in the past has always used Michael Giacchino, so it would kind of be leaving him out in the cold a little bit to use Williams to score the new Star Wars movies. But I'm a purist for Star Wars, so I say keep Williams and F anybody else. Seriously, even though his music hasn't been as original, and I think you guys have noticed this too, like over the past decade or even 15 years, his scores really start to sound very similar. There's one piece from Attack of the Clones that sounded almost identical to a piece that was in, I think, the second or third Harry Potter movie. And it was just a lot of the originality is lacking, but still, for that core Star Wars music, I don't think they should try to get anybody else. If he's willing to do it, just throw him a bone, at least for the first movie. While he's still alive. I mean, that guy is another one that's getting old, too. He's like 80 or something.
Yeah. See that? Some rumors have been floating around about, what may happen in the future films. Harrison Ford is sort of confirmed, sort of not confirmed to return as Han Solo. Some sources are saying that he'll definitely be back. Others are saying that he's still in the talks, and that, you know, it could still be a couple weeks before we get an official confirmation. It's almost like a presidential race. Like, NBC is calling it for Harrison Ford, but CBS is saying that Harrison Ford's not signed on yet. So we'll have to keep looking. But some of the rumors revolving are that it's going to take place with the kids, you know, the Solo and maybe even the Skywalker kids, which the time frame kind of works, obviously, with the expanded universe, you know, they're not going to be 100% faithful to it. You know, Han and Leia have three kids. They have Jason and Jaina, who are twins, and they have Anakin Solo, which is their youngest kid. Doesn't end well for any of them. And it would be interesting to see what they would change, because two of the kids have a very important role in the expanded universe. And if they tweaked it to make them heroes in the films, it would kind of trounce on the last 5 or 6 years of expanding universe and really everything going forward, including the like legacy comics and stuff like that. So I didn't know what you guys thought about bringing some kids into the galaxy far, far away. It works so well with Anakin.
Well, as long as they're not too young, I think is the key. If we see them in that teenage young adult range, then I think that's going to be a lot more fun than trying to deal with somebody very, very young. But I know I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but I know something happens with the Anakin character, and he was fairly young when it happened.
Tear.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I don't want a repeat of Phantom Menace.
Are you an angel? So stupid. All my life, me.
I'm a person, and my name's Anakin. Oh,
just think of the 5,000 kids they auditioned to for that role, only to pick Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, he did. Nailed something.
One thing that bothers me about the names of those kids Like, I don't like the name Anakin Solo, and I get that children are named after parents and grandparents every day, but when it comes to just reading in whatever, I don't care if it's literature or just your regular run-of-the-mill science fiction, or doesn't matter, I can't stand it. Luke's kid is what, Ben? Ben Skywalker?
Ben Skywalker, yeah.
It's okay, so that there's Ben Skywalker, and then Anakin Solo, and I don't like that at all. It just sounds weird, especially if you're referring to them by just their first name. I don't know. I just don't see how it's going to go over well.
Right. Yeah. I have a moral problem with Ben Skywalker. Like, I was, as soon as, you know, Mara and Luke had the kid, I knew they were going to name it Ben, but I have a problem with that. The only problem I have with them naming Anakin Solo Anakin was that it ended up confusing readers because, you know, the expanding universe with Anakin Solo was at the height of the prequel trilogies. And so it became confusing when you were reading stories about Anakin Solo, and then the next novel was Anakin Skywalker. And most reports are that they killed Anakin. Oh, sorry. They killed Anakin Solo. I'll say it. No one on our podcast reads. They killed Anakin Solo because of reader confusion. You know, I mean, they gave him a heroic death. He went out like a champ. He got the glow. But he was one of the more interesting characters, and you really felt that he was going to be the one who actually fulfilled the destiny. He was going to help Luke fulfill the destiny. He was going to be the Jedi, and he's going to be the Jedi, going to be the Jedi, going to be the Jedi, and all of a sudden, what? I mean, it was a very shocking end for him because they were building him up to be the next big thing, and because it was confusing with two Anakins, you know, he had to go.
I think it could totally still work with Anakin Solo, but here's what they're going to have to do with him. They're going to have to give him a nickname so they're not calling him Anakin all the time. Kind of like if you watch the
Annie?
Clone Wars. No derivative. No derivative of his name whatsoever. It's going to have to be something completely different. And, you know, they can come up with some cute way to give it to him. But like how Anakin calls Ahsoka Snips in the animated series, you know, it's just a random stupid nickname that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. But that way, the viewers will not be confused between that Anakin and the Hayden Christensen Anakin.
Right, like no one calls Obi-Wan Ben. I mean, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then he gets the nickname Ben. So, I mean, it could be like that. You know, some people call him that, some people call him another.
Right.
But, I mean, if they're going to go with the Solo kids, you know, if Harrison Ford is involved, which, you know, more than likely he will be, you know, Harrison Ford, you know, is older. You know, Return of the Jedi was 1983, so, you know, we're 30 years out from Return of the Jedi. By the time the next one comes out, we'll be 32 years out. You know, their kids would be, you know, teenagers, young adults, and Anakin would already be dead at this point. And I think that most fans would appreciate if the movie opened and Anakin was already dead, we had the twins, and make Jason Solo the villain for the trilogy. I would totally be on board for Jason Solo being the Sith Lord, because he's almost like parroting Darth Vader, and, you know, everyone in the universe sees it but him. Like, he comes out dressed in all black, and he's talking about, like, controlling the universe, and people are like, doesn't he know who he looks like?
And do we get to see him fall
in the movie?
Yeah, like, would the first episode be basically his fall to the dark side, or are we going to initially have him be the villain?
It's hard because, you know,
I say we as if we're writing it.
Right. Because we're setting up characters that a lot of people the majority of people going into the film aren't going to know, or they're not going to know what's going on. So there would need to be some exposition. The problem is that Jason's fall occurs in a time where there is no, like, it's not like a Palpatine Maul Dooku Vader thing to where there's a clear progression, you know. Episode one works because we know Palpatine's the bad guy, or we know the Emperor is a bad guy. And, you know, he has his minions, and they progress because they keep dying, to where in the time of Jason or Darth Cadus, there is no real Sith. Jason is kind of the only Sith, and he takes Ben Skywalker under his control to try to convert him to be the next, you know, Sith apprentice. And so I think that the screenwriters are going to have a hard time figuring this out, especially if they want to involve the kids heavily. Or they can just say, expanding universe, what? Who cares? And just go on their own. Which would make me cry.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sounds dumb.
You sound dumb. So yeah, that's all for Star Wars. I will move on to lesser important franchises, like James Bond. Everyone's seen Skyfall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course.
$1.1 billion and counting. Still has countries it hasn't been released in. Racking up the dough. So obviously James Bond is very much a viable franchise. And a Taiwanese Blu-ray has surfaced that has a 3D cut of Dr. No. And so rumors are spreading that Dr. No is going to be coming to the theater near you in 3D. And didn't know what you guys thought about that.
That is an interesting choice, but there are so many other classic Bond movies that I would rather see re-released on the big screen, much less given the 3D treatment.
Now, is there any Bond movie you would see in 3D?
Goldfinger, Thunderball. I mean, those are just a couple of my favorite Connery movies. But to be honest, I love all the Connery Bond movies, even some of the cheesier ones. I'd just go see it just to see a Connery Bond movie on the big screen. I can't say I ever have before.
And then one last thing, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, everyone's favorite Tyrion. We all love him, right?
Yeah.
he signed on to play the villain in X-Men Days of Future Past. When he was initially cast, everyone just assumed, myself included, that he was going to play Puck from Alpha Flight, who doesn't really factor into Days of Future Past, but he's really the only, shall we put, short and stout of the real Marvel characters. So, but it was quickly debunked that he was going to be in it, but he was not going to be Puck. He was going to play one or the villain of Days of Future Past. So, what do you think?
I think that would be good. I think he'd play a really good villain.
I think a whole lot of trouble comes in a little package.
There is no other short character that he could play, unless they want to make someone who's not already short make them short. A couple of people are thinking that he'll play Bulwer Trask, who's the creator of the Sentinels, and because obviously the Sentinels are going to play heavily into Days of Future Past. But only time will tell, so keep your peepers peeping to geeklegacy.com for all the latest news, reviews, posters, trailers, TV spots, photos. And, yeah, that's all I got. That's the movie news for today.
Yeah.
What do you got for us today, Randy? I heard you got a little something fun for us.
I got a fun little list for us today.
Yeah?
So what I've got here are the top 10 worst sequels to great movies.
No, I know what's on this list.
Oh, I'm sure we can come up with all sorts of them here. But I haven't compiled this myself. I'm going off someone else's, so don't give me too much shit for it not being exactly numerically accurate, but I agree with every single one that's on here. Okay, so number 10, we're going to go ahead and start with Jaws the Revenge. That's Jaws 4 for anyone keeping track. God awful. And it's sad, too, because it actually had Michael Caine in it.
Right. Michael Caine.
He lands planes on the ocean.
Has eaten.
No, he doesn't.
Doesn't he?
No, he survives.
Oh, well, that's good.
But there were two versions of the movie, though, where one where Mario Van Peebles does die and one where he does not.
You guys remember The NeverEnding Story?
Yeah.
Remember The NeverEnding Story 2?
With Jonathan Brandis?
Do you remember, or did you even know that they made NeverEnding Story 3?
I did.
No.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's pretty terrible, like made for sci-fi looking bad. Bad, bad. And if you thought 2 was bad, and I thought 2 was a pretty big departure from the first one, the third one was even worse.
Are both 2 and 3 on this?
No, it doesn't have 2 and 3, it's just number 3.
That's how bad 3 is.
Usually, yeah, this list just the worst film of a franchise, and if there's a franchise with many films on it, it'll just list the worst one, no matter how bad some of the others were. Number 8 on the list, Superman 4, A Quest for Peace. And we need not go into any more details on that. All right, number 7 on the list, Speed 2, Cruise Control. The first one was actually pretty good, yeah.
The first Speed's awesome.
Yeah. Second one, not so much. You lose Keanu and you lose me.
Well, they should have just called it Cruise Control and ditched the whole Speed sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have made more money, I'm sure.
Exactly. Number 6, Son of the Mask.
Oh, I forgot all
about. What?
Yeah.
With Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy was in it instead of Jim Carrey, and it was just a bad, mostly... The bad CGI made it especially bad, but it was just not fun. All right, number five on the list, Jurassic Park 3. I actually kind of like 3, personally, but, you know, it definitely didn't live up to the first one.
I like 3 better than 2.
I like 3 better than 2 as well. For whatever reason, I guess I liked having Dr. Grant back in there over Ian Malcolm. But I enjoy the Jeff Goldblum character as well. I don't know, 2 just lost it for me.
I like 3 because they're on the island in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they don't waste any time.
And yeah, there's like, guns and an even bigger baddie than a T-Rex. All right, number 4, and I think we can all wholeheartedly agree with this one, Blues Brothers 2000. I wish it didn't exist.
You and me too, sister.
So bad.
I love John Goodman. I love the Blues Brothers. I don't like John Goodman in the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Number 3, this one's for you, Justin. Batman and Robin.
Oh, dang. Monkey work.
Monkey work.
That movie's almost as bad as what I'm assuming is number 1 on this list that I already ranted about earlier when talking about Harrison.
No, surprisingly, it's number 2 on the list, and that brings me right to Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's number 2. I would have put it at number 1. And number 1...
I think I know number 1 is.
I don't think you do. You want to take a guess? I will give you... I hope you didn't find this list online. I will give you $50 if you can guess number 1 without cheating.
Do we want to bitch about Crystal Skull first?
Oh, by all means.
Interdimensional beings, you guys.
I will give you the opportunity to Google this list, find it out, and in that case, we'll put it down to $20. Because I know you're cheating right now.
No, I'm not. Is it a sequel to a classic film from the 30s?
Negative.
That's not Return
to Oz. But I know what you're thinking. Are you thinking about Return to Oz or The Wiz? Or yeah.
Oh.
or any of those? No, it's not that. It's both of these movies were made in the 80s.
Is it Fletch Lives?
No, although that one definitely qualifies.
Caddyshack 2?
Oh, that one hugely qualifies, but no.
Not Back to the Future.
No, because Back to the Future, although the second and third one weren't as good, they're all watchable. Okay, the number 1 on this list.
Oh, wait,
okay.
80s. Iron Eagle 2.
No, keep. we can make this a game and keep going at it all night.
I kind of like this game.
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
Sean Connery is in it.
Highlander 2.
Highlander 2 is it.
Okay.
I don't think Highlander 2 is that bad. I mean, not worse than Crystal Skull.
They're from the planet Zeist.
Wait, there's suddenly aliens in the second movie?
Teleported to Earth to have this epic battle for there can be only...
That's stupid.
Highlander 1 ends with Connor McLeod being the one, right?
Yes, and then Highlander 2 begins in the future, where he has, well, not necessarily in the future, but it starts off like, yeah, he's won the prize, and now he's all smart, and the planet's about to get nuked from the sun, and he comes up with this crazy contraption that can shield the atmosphere from, like, sunspots and whatnot, and then it jumps to, like, 20, whatever, 15, 17, doesn't matter, and then, Sean Connery actually comes back to life because aliens from the planet Zeist get teleported to come and kill McLeod, and then he calls for Sean Connery to come and save him, help him out. So then, boom, he gets teleported back to Earth. It's terrible. You know who's in it, though? It's Virginia Madsen.
Oh, yeah?
Young Virginia Madsen, yes. Not that she's old and haggard or anything, but...
She was younger in the 80s, though.
Really?
Caddyshack 2 is not on your list.
No, it's not. And it's not even... Again, I didn't come up with this list, but it's not even here in the honorable mentions, of which we have Alien Resurrection, Matrix Revolutions, Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Spider-Man 3.
Airplane 2, the sequel.
Shatner's in Airplane 2.
Doesn't make it good.
It's not terrible. I mean, it's the exact same movie as the first Airplane. Guy buys a bomb at the airport. How is that not funny?
Oh, my God. European Vacation.
European Vacation, right?
Highlander 2 was 1991, so I was off by a couple years in saying that they're both 80s, but it has that 80s feel.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
There are so many movies that we could put on this list. I mean, that just goes with the old idiom that sequels are usually pretty terrible compared to the originals.
Yeah.
Godfather 2.
Follow-ups to most horror films.
Yeah.
I thought Godfather 2 was the best one.
It is. I was meaning.
Oh, okay.
Godfather 3 is the bad one.
It was a little too dry for me.
Yeah.
I didn't end it with a chuckle.
There's very few sequels that are better than the original. I would say X2 was better than the original. X2.
Empire Strikes Back.
Spider-Man 2 is better than the original Spider-Man.
Say that too. And Terminator 2, I think, is better than the first Terminator as well.
Yep.
Subsequent Aliens. Harry Potter movies are better than the first one.
Oh, and Dark Knight is better than Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good sequels out there.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop 2?
It's pretty darn good. I think it is underrated.
My wife's car!
It's actually a darker movie.
Yeah. With the killers.
Oh.
Sad. But the chief doesn't die, so it's okay.
Heck, we can make a top 10 of movies whose sequels were better than the original. Easily. Just from what we've come up with now.
I think that's your next assignment, Randy. Make it happen.
Yeah, but it's already been discussed.
Well, then it should be easy to write that. Just transcribe what we said, and done. Why don't you take us home there, Justin?
Okay. Well, that about does it for our Geek Legacy podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please like us on Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy. Shoot us an email with questions, comments, points of discussion to info@geeklegacy.com. Be sure to check out the website, geeklegacy.com, for all your geek news and reviews.